What if I informed you that hell is currently vacant? You might be astonished to discover that even those who committed the most severe transgressions aren't enduring everlasting flames. We all understand that as long as we trust in Christ, we will die and enter paradise. This will be examined further in another video, but what truly happens to those who don't believe in God? Fortunately, the Bible informs us directly. To comprehend, we must understand that what we perceive as hell isn't just one location, but indeed three distinct places. Let's grasp this through the story Jesus shares about the rich man and Lazarus. We'll provide a brief recap. For the full story, check the link in the description below. In Luke 16 verses 19 to 31, Jesus narrates a compelling story about two men, a wealthy man and a destitute man named Lazarus. The rich man lived a life of opulence, while Lazarus, covered in sores, lay at the wealthy man's gate, yearning for crumbs from his table. When both men died, their fates were reversed. The beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus, the poor man, was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort and rest, often interpreted as paradise. However, the rich man found himself in Hades, in a place of agony. Despite being in the same general realm of the dead, a great chasm separated them, preventing the rich man from crossing over to where Lazarus was. Then he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, and likewise, Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are in torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from their past to us." The rich man's plea reveals the misery of his condition. He was in torment, longing for just a drop of water to cool his tongue. But Abraham made it clear there was no crossing the divide between the comfort of paradise and the agony of Hades. Although we've covered this in a previous video, for those who have seen it, please bear with me. And for those who have not, pay close attention. Hades, often translated as Sheol in the Old Testament, is described as the realm of the dead, a place where all souls go after death. But as we've seen in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, not all souls experience the same fate in Hades. In ancient Jewish understanding, Sheol was where the dead awaited final judgment. Both the righteous and the wicked went to Sheol, but their experiences were vastly different. Now in Psalm 16, King David expressed his profound trust in God to preserve life from death by stating, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." This verse often suggests that even the righteous went to Sheol but awaited their deliverance. Even Enoch, who had seen a different heavenly realm, believed that the spirits of the wicked are held in a place of great anguish awaiting the day of judgment. The book of Jasher, which speaks of the wicked descending into a dark place filled with sorrow and suffering, reinforces the idea that Sheol or Hades is not a place of rest for those who have lived in defiance of God. Now, overall, the first part of hell is in Hades and known as torment for those who do not believe in Christ. Hades is a place of suffering, a foretaste of the final judgment to come. The rich man's experience gives us a glimpse of what this torment is like. He describes it as being in flames, a place where relief is unattainable and the suffering is relentless. The Bible also speaks of Hades as a place of remorse and despair. Sheol or Hades is the first aspect of hell, a place of conscious torment where the wicked are separated from the righteous, awaiting final judgment. It is a place of fire, regret, and unending pain, where the consequences of a life lived apart from God are fully realized. The torment in Hades is a prelude to the final eternal punishment that awaits after the day of judgment. Now, let's delve into the second part of hell, Tartarus. This place is described as a prison for fallen angels and demons, a realm of even deeper darkness and torment. Tartarus is mentioned in both biblical and extra-biblical texts as a place of severe punishment. In Greek understanding, Tartarus was a deep abyss used as a dungeon of torment for the wicked. The Bible adopts this concept to describe where certain fallen angels are held in chains until the day of judgment. Peter 2 states, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." The term hell in this verse is actually translated from the Greek word Tartarus. Here, Peter tells us that God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them into Tartarus, a place of deep darkness where they are bound in chains, awaiting judgment. The book of Enoch provides further details about Tartarus. It describes the fall of certain angels, often referred to as the Watchers, who descended to earth and took human wives, leading to the birth of the Nephilim. Because of their rebellion, these angels were bound by God and cast into a place of deep darkness, consistent with the description of Tartarus. And again, the Lord said to Raphael, "Bind Azazel hand and foot and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudiel, and cast him therein, and place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever, and cover his face that he may not see light." In this passage, the angel Raphael is instructed to bind Azazel, one of the leaders of the rebellious angels, and cast him into darkness. This place, described as a desert covered in jagged rocks, is eerily similar to the Tartarus mentioned by Peter, where the fallen angels are bound in darkness. Another example is in the Gospel of Luke, specifically Luke 8 verses 30 to 31, where Jesus encounters a man possessed by demons near the region of the Gadarenes. Jesus asks the demon-possessed man, "What is your name?" To which he replied, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. These demons begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss, Tartarus. The book of Enoch describes how these angels are kept in Tartarus, awaiting final judgment, just as Peter describes in his epistle. The concept of Tartarus is not just an invention of apocryphal texts. It is acknowledged in the New Testament as a place where God's judgment on the rebellious angels is executed. These angels, who did not keep their proper domain, are now imprisoned in Tartarus, awaiting final judgment. Jude 1 states, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." The torment in Tartarus is described as being more intense than the torment experienced in Hades. While Hades is a place for the souls of the wicked dead, Tartarus is reserved for the fallen angels who committed grave sins against God. The very presence of these angels in Tartarus speaks to the severity of their rebellion and the seriousness of their punishment. We've covered Sheol or Hades, the place where the souls of the wicked await judgment, and Tartarus, the abyss where fallen angels are held in chains. Now, let's delve into the most terrifying aspect of hell, the lake of fire. This is the final destination for everyone who does not believe in Christ, the place of ultimate and eternal punishment. The lake of fire is described as the final place of punishment for the wicked after the day of judgment. Unlike Sheol or Hades, which are temporary holding places, the lake of fire is permanent. This is the hell that most people refer to, a place of eternal fire, torment, and separation from God. The book of Revelation makes this extremely clear by stating, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In this passage, we see the final judgment taking place. All the dead are resurrected and stand before God to be judged. Those whose names are not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, a death from which there is no resurrection, a state of eternal separation from God. The lake of fire is also described as a place of unending torment, where the fire is not quenched and the suffering never ceases. Revelation 14 states, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. The lake of fire is not only for human souls, but also for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20 states, "The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." The lake of fire is the ultimate manifestation of God's judgment, a place where the wicked, the fallen angels, and even death itself are cast into eternal torment. It is the final and most severe aspect of hell. There is no escape, no relief, and no hope for those who end up in the lake of fire. So, to summarize, hell is not a single place but a series of places or realms where different beings await final judgment. Hades or Sheol is the place where the souls of the wicked dead are held in torment, awaiting the day of judgment. Tartarus is the abyss where fallen angels are imprisoned, awaiting their final punishment. And the lake of fire is the ultimate destination for all who are judged as wicked, where they will suffer eternal punishment. Understanding the true nature of hell helps us comprehend the gravity of sin and the seriousness of God's judgment. It also emphasizes the necessity of accepting Christ's offer of salvation, for without him, the reality of hell is a terrifying prospect. In our next video, we will explore what the Bible says about the eternal state of the righteous, those who believe in Christ and are saved. Thank you for watching God's Word Unveiled. If you found this video enlightening, please give it a thumbs up and share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more thought-provoking and informative videos about the Bible. May God bless you all, and remember, hell is not just a place of torment but a reality for those who reject God's grace. Choose life today. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He letteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He letteth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.